Hey everybody, and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. This week, we are talking with the lovely Becky Lallana from Voca. So we'll hear all about that in just a moment. I'm joined by the lovely Sass, because she knows Becky. So, you know, we wanted to keep friends together and have a nice chat. So, Sass, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Paul. And I'm looking forward to Becky saying her name correctly.
Oh, God. Well, there you go. See, I knew I'd make a mess. So, Becky.
Go on, Becky. Please, how is it?
Please, I think I got Becky right, but give me the
fine.
Second name.
It's Lalan.
Lalan? Oh, I've been sticking an A at the end of it.
No.
Have I got that wrong?
It's a French surname. I'm not French, but my husband is.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know.
I just thought it was all over then, you know, a relationship.
I'm not bilingual either. I was worried too, but it's all good. And actually, we've got a lot more in common than that. We've all got Wiltshire roots.
We do.
Absolutely.
We do. So, Becky, I'm correct in thinking that you are currently residing in a town I used to play for, the village I used to play football for when I was 13 to 15.
Yeah, I am. In the heart of Wiltshire.
The heart of Wiltshire. We won't tell anybody because everybody will want to come and find you down
Everyone
the local
pub. Everyone
wants
to come to the village. Yes.
Indeed. Yeah, we don't want riffraff coming to the village. Not that all of our listeners are riffraff, of course. But anyway, Becky, on a more serious note, please tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from. You know, classic lift speech around Voca and all of that good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. The Voca team, we have been following the EV Cafe for a while, and we've been listening and tuning in. And so it's been one of our ambitions to come and talk on your podcast. So thank you very much.
Oh, it's very nice.
The elevator pitch for Voca is quite simple. We are a new-to-market EV charging business. We're bringing a charger, an AC charger to market that's got contactless payments built into the unit. That simple. It's a 7 to 22 kilowatt charger. It is really best suited to destination venues, off-street parking.
Wow. Well, that's it. That's been a great podcast, everybody. I can't believe that was so succinct.
That's it.
But Becky, for me and Sass, let's come to you on a sensible question out of this. But this is really exciting because I turn up at a lot of different hotels, a lot of different venues. We book places to meet people, do all of this kind of stuff where we're going to stay a couple of 3 hours. You know, we don't necessarily want to plug into a DC charger, but we could definitely do with a lot of vehicles are 11 kilowatts these days. Wouldn't it be great if we could just plug in and know that our vehicle was happily getting a bit of energy as we go?
Yeah, it really hits the sweet spot for me, this product, and long before any conversations around the EV Cafe. Actually, Becky and I met up in my neck of the woods now, which is Gloucestershire, and we had a lovely chat all about the product, what it was going to look like when it came to market. And what struck me was, you're quite right, anything between 7 and 22 kilowatt is ideal for destination charging locations, offices, hotels. And I went out to go and see one just to see what it was really like in the flesh. And you're rolling them out now. But the journey that you guys have been on, it is mind-blowing to me. You're so committed. You're so knowledgeable. You've had to go all over Europe to get various bits approved and bits sorted. But ultimately, this is a very strong brand who stands to really change the way that people pull up, tap and go, and know that they're going to come back to a reasonable charge during the time that they've been dwelling in wherever they went to. So yeah, destination charging, vastly underlooked in the way that we can electrify more people.
That's exactly what we were thinking. And really, it's really where we started off. Our starting point, if you like, you know, the why story, why this business, why did you come to market and why this product came out of, essentially, if I roll back a bit, Voca is started off as essentially a business project with inside a bigger company. They often do. And the CEO, being a long-time adopter of EVs and was fed up with his public charging experience, saying, I'm fed up with the apps, the QR codes, the mobile phone not working in the dirty car park at the end of the day. Why can't it just be like everywhere else? Why can't it just be like public transport where I just tap and I get my service and I carry on with my day? And really, this person was saying that because the wider business comes from public transport. The wider business, the bigger the parent company, their origins are deploying ticketing solutions across public transport. So the bus validators, but also the software and the payments that go to make the tap on, tap off, whether you're in Greater Manchester or TfL in London, make that possible. So he looked at this and said, I think we can have a go. I think we can do something that will rival, if not do better, which is a bold statement, given the busy market that there is. There are a lot of people out there doing this. So, you know, when you choose what type of product you're bringing to market, it started off with a very strong sense of DC charging. There are a lot of big businesses in there doing it very, very well. Home charging, the 7-kilowatt charger that sits on the side of your house. There are a lot of businesses doing that very well. What is offering a poor experience is that slow charge, the destination charge, where you would expect to have a contactless payment solution, and you don't. You've got an app and you've got any number of difficulties in getting a charge. So that's what we focused on. And we set about designing our own charger. So we could have taken components off the shelf, knocked it all together, put it in a box and added our payment terminal inside. We decided not to. We decided if we want a charger that is as reliable as we'd like it to be, we're going to design our own printed circuit boards, we're going to design our own units, and we are going to put inside that unit essentially a payment card terminal, a secure card reader, that is your tap to pay. And that comes from the sister, that payment card terminal comes from our sister company, but the rest of the product has been designed by us.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europe Car, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europe Car's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
And look, this is a nice bit of kit, Paul. As Becky says, it neatly sits on the side of your building. It's the same sort of orientation and size as others that you might have seen. It's got dual port. So it's obviously two people can charge it. As you said earlier, most vehicles are capable of taking, 10.9, 11 kilowatts on board at any one time. So if you're splitting that power out. But the thing I think you've done really beautifully, Becky, is put the driver at the heart of all of this. And then your price point, your recommended price point, your pence per kilowatt hour is, as you rightly say, much less than you would expect to pay on the faster public highway. Of course, we do that for luxury, for experience, for necessity. But if you don't need to do that and you could get a long stay charge, then this is a perfect, perfect product.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I think, back to your putting the driver at the heart of it. A lot of people say, oh, we're very we're customer centric. We put the driver at the heart of everything we're doing. This was a genuine desire of ours to say, well, if the driver's happy, we know the driver will come back. We can all ask anybody around the dinner table, who's your favorite charging network? They can point to the three or four different chargers or charging networks near them that they go to when they need to because they know it works. Or because it's easy, or because it has a system that they prefer. And so we spent a lot of time thinking about what does the driver want versus what's already happening. And then what are some of the things that we could possibly change? First thing was payments. We put payments at the center. So we built the system around the payments, which means it's integrated. So we control the end-to-end experience from the charge to the payment and the reconciliation at the end and the back office. And then just silly things that appear silly, but actually are quite important. The information that's shown to the driver on the screen, the order of information, does it make sense? Is it clear what is expected of the driver at any given moment? And again, tethered cables. We had a lot of debate internally. Tethered cables might seem like a risky choice operationally. There's a lot of conversation about cables being cut, but we made the decision that a driver would prefer to have tethered cables. And in a destination venue, so off-street parking, we could afford to make that choice because the choice is for the driver.
Yeah. I do you know what? I'm loving this because, first of all, let me put my driver hat on. These are not the views of the EV cafe. These are not... I'm blooming eight local crappy destination charging because often it doesn't work and it drives me bonkers, and it's usually around a bloody payment solution. A lot of this stuff has been in the ground. Yeah, I think so. a lot of this stuff has been in the ground for a long time, and therefore is, you know, because they went early with destination charging or just local charging. But for me, when I get to somewhere, if I can just walk up to it, tap, plug in and go, I'm going to do it. But, and the reality is you go, oh, I've got to download an app. So then you sit in the car for 5 minutes. If it's raining, there is no cover because obviously it's a low revenue kind of destination typically, or you're inside, but it's cold. And so you get back in the car, download that, put your details in, and then you walk to the back and get it. And then it still doesn't work. Because and it just drives you mad. But at least if yours is not working, then you tap and you know immediately it's not going to work. Okay, fine, move on. But I suspect with that commitment to the driver satisfaction, you're going to be looking after this thing. You're going to put it in and you're going to kind of look after it. And I think that's where people are missing.
It's definitely the intention. It's definitely the intention. And again, you know, so when we were looking at the failure points, we were looking at the screen. You know, if your screen doesn't work, essentially your charger doesn't work, even if the whole thing can charge perfectly. So it was looking at lifespan of screens, for example, and a lot of care has gone into choosing the, you know, a screen that has a healthy lifespan and the battery that has a healthy lifespan and it's powered correctly, because if that goes on the blink, you don't, even if the charger works, you don't have a charge, you can't charge your blinds. And again, thinking about connectivity, what are the best options? Our chargers are kitted out in a way that you can connect either via mobile, Wi-Fi or Ethernet. So you can double up if you need. You can belt and braces as a venue if you're not confident. And we've chosen eSIMs that go to the strongest network instead of lining up with just one network provider.
I feel like you're building quite a community though, Becky Vocker, because it's not... The user functionality is everything, and you were very, very quick and kind to sign the pay-through payment charter, which we're currently working with EVA England around the driver quality of payment experience. And that song and dance you just described, Paul, has to end. And we had the public charge point regulations, which said if you have an AC charger of 8 kilowatts or above, you must provide a contactless terminal alongside that charger. Now, don't know about you, put the binoculars away. I'm not really seeing anybody running to do that, despite the deadline having been last year. So what you guys have done is built a future-proofed product. And one, they look good. Two, there's a phone line. So it does go wrong, by the way. They are completely compliant. They have a call center. But I think the locations that you're partnering with are going to look after these chargers with you, for you, alongside you. So I don't see you being victim of those horrible Cape, thank, I really hope not, those cable companies. But the one in Bristol that I really love is after hours, when the office is closed, the public can use it. So you can leave your car there overnight free of charge without restriction, which I just think is a wonderful way to utilise revenue as well.
It's really, we were pleasantly surprised. It is everything we were hoping for. So the business in question is Future Leap. They are a sustainability consultancy, and their offices, they have a co-working space. So they have their own office within a wider co-working space for members. And it's in the heart of Clifton, which is a very residential area. So interestingly, their charger, there are no gates to access the charger, but it's understood that during the day and working office hours, it's for the members. But outside of office hours, so evenings and weekends, it's open to anybody. Now, they've communicated out to the local residents that it's there, but essentially anybody visiting your friend that weekend can park up and charge. So it does this public-private service. There's obviously, it's a private company that is running this, but anyone can. And then there's a payback. Obviously, there's a small revenue share. So the business is making money off that. So everybody's winning.
I wanted to kind of make sure that people understood that this was a revenue share thing, because let's talk about the deployment model if we can. Yeah, because, you know, money is important, and we know the sorts of prices that you know, are bandied around for the rapid, ultra rapid charging. And a lot of people want to get away from that. And there are a lot of fleets out there that want to get away from that. And I know many of them myself that would love it if their engineers could sort of head home. And, you know, as this sort of spreads out and people living in the inner city that might be in a block of flats just nearby can park that vehicle overnight and get a charge reliably and with a simple system. So talk to us about the deployment model.
So the model is, we believe the model is quite simple. When you're looking at how to build your business and where the risks are and what makes most sense, again, for the type of customer you want to be working with. Destination venues, it's quite a broad spectrum of customers. You can find hotels, independent hotels as much as chains, but it can be leisure venues, it can be community parks, it could be co-working spaces. And some of those places, for example, workplaces, can benefit from grants, but you can only get a grant if you own the asset, if you're buying the asset. We have a model where we sell the asset, so our charger, we sell it to said hotel. A hotel owns the asset, and that can depreciate on their books. We then have a minimal monthly charge. At the moment, we've set it at £2 per unit per month, and that's the price of connectivity and payments. And then there's a shared revenue model whereby we ascertain what the cost of electricity is, what the base price of cost of electricity is based on their contract. They will add a small commission, and we add a small commission, which altogether completes the price for the end customer. Now, we have a principle that we try and communicate and we discuss with the customer around what's the best price. It's too high, no one will charge. It's too low, you're not making any money, or you might even be losing money. We can't control that price. And you know, your RRP on your can of Coca-Cola, there's a reason. It's the owner who determines the price. But we can recommend what we feel to be the right price for the type of charge you're getting in the type of venue that you're spending.
Is it like 55p? It's pretty good, isn't it? Your recommended
price. 55 to
65p, yeah. Yeah. I listen to you. I know what this lovely
and thing. And interestingly, we've in the number of customers that we're working with right now, one of our customers, so one of our businesses, due to probably old electricity contracts, has an electricity price per kilowatt hour of 55p.
Wow.
That's their business rate.
That's brutal.
Which I didn't believe the first time I heard it. Yeah. And so they are running at cost, essentially, because otherwise it would be too expensive for the... But they believe... But interestingly, this is their commitment. They believe that having a charger on site, it's a co-working space, that having a charger on site will bring them more members and more customers. They also have a cafe and a gym, and they see the wider benefits of having the charger, not just making money on the charger. Making money on the charger is essentially, it's just a way of netting out those costs for them. It's about added footfall, increased footfall, guest experience, member experience, and the add-ons and the extra spend that any of their visitors might make because they've come to their venue and they're not just there for a day, an hour, they're there for a day.
Yeah, instead of going straight home, they might just think, oh, do you know what? I've had my workout, I've had my shower, I'm just going to have a coffee and just to get some emails done because I know I'm getting another
11 kilowatts. Because I'm here anyway and I'm charging, yeah.
Exactly. It's peace of mind and all of that good stuff. For me, it's a no-brainer, and it's answering the challenges that I've felt myself many, many times, but also seen... across many fleets struggling with this sort of stuff, and many people struggling with this stuff, and there's nothing worse than getting somewhere and it not working and feeling frustrated. But Becky, tell me, why do you care about all of this? What is it in you? Because here's a passionate individual that is looking to solve problems, keeping drivers at the center of it. It's around electrification. It obviously is incorporating some level of sustainability, but a lovely balance between that focus on sustainability and that focus on customer service and driver experience. Tell us why you care.
It's an interesting question, Paul, because I started in this business. I've been in this business 3 years. And prior to that, I'd never gone anywhere near, certainly hadn't gone anywhere near EV charging. And I hadn't gone anywhere near anything renewable. Although I have worked in energy, but energy drinks, not the energy. So I think there's a theme in there somewhere. But really, I joined this business because I was essentially... inspired, I'm sort of motivated by the challenge. New to market, new product, new industry, and lots of problems to solve that I can draw on previous experiences, multiple previous experiences to try and solve it. So I entered this business originally as the marketer. had my marketing hat on. I was going to be launching an EV charger, and I was going to be a solo marketer. And as my progress through the role, I then progressed into program manager. I've since been made MD, so managing director, as we've structured and incorporated the business. And the more I get into it, the more fascinated I am by the industry and motivated I am by what we're doing. I'm not somebody who believes in a higher calling. I believe that all of us will get there in their own time and will be convinced when they're ready to be convinced about whether the transition to electric is right for them. But I do think that this is a small piece of the puzzle, and it's a piece of the puzzle that we can solve. So if you look at EV charging and transition to electric, you need lots of types of chargers for everybody to be satisfied. And so we are solving one part of that puzzle. And I like the fact that we're solving one part of that puzzle. I also like the fact that not many other people are trying to do that right now. So we do have a genuine USP, I think we'd call it. And I believe quite strongly, actually, the more I get to understand the industry, that you've got most people will, when they can, charge at home. And then after that, they will charge in emergency, let's say, or when they have to, at a public, service station, like we all do, because it's expensive. Those are necessary, because otherwise I can't get to, I don't know, the north of England quickly, and I don't want to spend 3 hours recharging. And then in the middle, there's this messy middle of everything else. So for those who can't charge at home, or those who are just out and about, we should be able to charge where we spend time and not spend time where we charge. Now, it's kind of the same thing, but the intention behind it is different. I want to go to work, so I'll go to work and I should be able to charge whilst my car is at work. I want to go shopping. I want to go to the park for the afternoon. I should just be able to charge my car whilst I'm there. I shouldn't have to choose a destination based on the fact that I need to charge. I should be able to go somewhere and charge as an annex, because plugs are available everywhere. You can't have a petrol station in every restaurant, but you can have a plug.
Very nice. Nicely said. It's been a bugbear of mine for a couple of years. And I think I've told you this before, Becky, but we put our first charger in 2010, which is a very, very long time ago compared to now. And the reason that's relevant is we started there. So we were only putting them in leisure centres and car parks. And of course, thank goodness it happened. We had the public charging network, which I personally believe has spawned the trust and honesty that we've seen with people wanting to go EV. But just yesterday, it was reported on a Freedom of Information Act by Vauxhall that we're still looking at probably 40% of UK alone houses cannot charge at home. So all of our statistics, all of our database, all of our information has so far come from the early adopter phase of people who were far more likely, something like 90-something% charge at home. So what you're doing here is future-proofing the UK for us, with us, with great thought. And you used a very special word there. Genuinely. Now, it's no secret that I'm a mega fan of Becky. I think that she is incredibly intelligent, committed and passionate, and so kind to everyone who crosses her path.
That's very generous, thank you.
No, it's not. It's absolutely
true. I was thinking that. Really generous.
No, not at all. The more you get to know Becky and also Ewan and the whole team, you will see that, yes, they are backed by a larger mobility-based company, and that has given security to sort of measure twice and cut once in terms of generating this amazing product. But I just wish more businesses would approach the task and problem as you have, which is user-centric, user experience first. And the fact that it is AC, that it is tethered, that it is easy to pay by contactless, that there is a call center, that it is located in nice locations, that you are pushing the message around the cheaper pence per kilowatt hour. I'm just really backing you and really, really hope that you win. Now, tell us a little bit more about, you've told us what makes you committed to this cause, but Paul and I are always very interested. And if John was here, he'd say the same. Going way back, where do you think your spark, pun intended, came from with wanting to get under the hood, as it were, with technicality and products? And we swap WhatsApps, and I know you've been to Switzerland. I know you've been in France trying to solve all these technical problems. I also know you have a very strong marketing background. So tell the viewers where that kind of Venn diagram between marketing and technical happened for you.
Oh, I don't know. I came up, everyone in marketing comes up through a specialism, and I came up very much through the event management, project management path. So I started off organizing events, and then the events building to build the campaign around the event to obviously advertise the event. So it's a lot of problem solving. Really, it is. One of the events, I worked for Red Bull for 10 years. And one of the events that was my project, my baby for a long time, was the Red Bull cliff diving. And I was based in France.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it's basically a bunch of people who jump off a platform that's 27 meters high into what is only about 5 meters of water, 5-6 meters depth of water. And each time we did it, so we did it in three different locations whilst I was there, two different locations, sorry. It becomes the problem of you want to do a thing and you want to make that thing happen, but you've got no experience in that thing. I'm not a diver. I'm not a construction worker. I'm not a platform builder. And you have to go and find all the people to make that thing happen. And it is essentially problem solving. And you become an expert in, I don't know, tide times, so you can get the right tide depths.
Don't want to get that wrong.
No, you don't want to get that wrong. So one year, for example, we did it in Corsica, which is an island off the south of France. And the big question was, we need to install a platform, but we don't know where we're going to do it. We need to find a venue. So we sent somebody to go and do some location check. We got a venue back and it was like, but there's no platform. So we had to get some high access specialists to come in and hang off ropes and hang off the side of the cliff, drill holes and tell us it was possible. And we just built a platform off the edge of a cliff. Now, all that really is to say that I like problem solving. I like the thing of, we don't know how to do it, but we've got to make it happen. So you're going to have to go and get under the skin of this topic and understand what all the options are and then make a choice and sort of take of a punt, really. And I think that's formative for any career. And I think it builds a little bit of resilience, a little bit of ability to say, I don't know how to do it, but somebody must do and we'll find them.
Wow. I tell you what, I must admit, I've always fancied myself as a cliff diver. I'm not sure I'd look great in the budgie smugglers that they all wear.
No.
But, but I do fancy it. Because
scary. I stood on that platform with harness on, and I.
Right.
It's pee your pants level scary.
Yeah, 27 meters. That's like eighty feet or something.
No.
Would I? I don't know. I can do 10 meters. I'm comfortable.
They hit the
at
water at over 100 kilometers an hour.
Oh. Man yeah. alive, you've got to get, I mean, do they dive or do they jump dive?
It's feet first.
Oh, feet
always
first.
Feet,
oh,
always that's feet easy. First. So they do all the tumbles and they do all their fancy gymnastics in the air, but it's feet first.
Oh, no, I would just jump. There'll be no fancy tumbles.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, if we ever do a launch video for Voca, this is what we'll get you doing, OK?
You'll see it. The V of the Voca platform. Is yeah. Paul's arms in the air.
Yeah, it'll be V. Ah! We won't get the ochre. And anyway, so events. So one of the other things that you're getting to do with us is, of course, the installer show. You're going to be joining us. So what are the creative juices doing, getting us ready for joining us? So for everybody that is out there, the installer show is the 22nd to the 24th, I think, of June. Is that right? Yeah.
Becky's in my memory, nodding, that's the date.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to go with the 22nd to the 24th of June while I check it. But tell us, what are the creative juices going? Are we jumping from 90 feet? We're going to go higher?
I wish. Well, I'd love to. What we really want to be able to do, and this will depend on sort of on-site logistics, is to be able to set up the unit in a way that people can come and experience tap. And get a
You're
feedback
take
from the
money
charger.
Off them on site.
Love to.
That's one way to pay that. For the unit. That's excellent.
Yeah. Have a go at this. It only takes
just a couple of pennies. Just a couple. We haven't worked out what the plan is. Obviously, the spaces are quite small, so we're going to be a little bit creative. We have how we use the space, but we have a charger, and we're thinking about ways of making that experience a little bit more interactive.
Oh, I love that. See, now that is a proper events person, because sometimes people turn up and go, well, what are you going to do for us? Well, no, you're here. You know, this is, you know, we hear this across all shows everywhere. You know, people maybe don't invest up front, but I'm glad to hear that you're thinking. And it's the 23rd to the 25th.
Oh,
we'll
I'm glad
be
you
there
say
from
that.
The 22nd. Yeah. We'll be there from the 22nd, though, of course, setting up. But come and join us. So the installer show, for those of you that don't know, just a little plug on the EV Cafe Village at this show. It's full, but if you want to join us, you can always try and find a space. We'll make room. We'll just nudge everybody over a bit and find you a spot. But
you can come and join us on our stand.
There you go. Come and be a part of it. We've got the theatre there, the decarbonisation theatre of the installer show will be, of course, going on, and we'll be helping people make these decisions. And no doubt we'll be using Becky to come up and tell us all about the value of destination charging and all that good stuff whilst we're there. But it's a fabulous show. Over 40,000 people expected over the 3 days. Lots of tradespeople, lots of business people that are around renewables and sustainability. In terms of solar and battery energy storage. You can even get your new kitchen scoped and built whilst you're there. So, I mean, it's a phenomenal event and lots of fun. So, we're looking forward to that.
I want to come. I've not been to this one yet.
Well, you absolutely have to be there. So that's all really good. But Becky, you know what? We talk about the person at the heart of this and I'm curious, you know, you've been in events and all that kind of stuff. How, when you were growing up, you perhaps at school, you were daydreaming in the back row. I was the one who was in the back row because, you know, I was in trouble. But you were probably at the front of the class being the bright, intelligent one.
I think I was,
yeah.
I was a little bit geeky like that.
That's okay. But what were you dreaming of? What was Becky thinking of?
I spent my whole time playing sport. So I was dreaming of getting out of the classroom to getting onto any pitch or court that was available, whether it was a ball or a stick or a bat. I wanted to be out playing sport. That's what I dreamt of.
Wow.
I did not dream of electronics or EVs or science or any of these things. I didn't even dream about events, although I was always quite involved in organising stuff, I think. The way I put it, I was always organising stuff. But no, I dreamt, I was the sporty kid.
What did you dream of, Paul?
Yeah.
You don't want to know. Yes, probably not a conversation for this podcast. I was the naughty kid. So I was up to...
Oh, yes.
That surprises me.
No, he was so naughty. I've heard lots of stories, yeah.
So there is articles in the paper that I am named in. And one of them was good. There was others that weren't quite so good.
Sarah, which one were you?
Oh, I'm the same as you, Becky. I am the one that did, super well. Actually, no. Super well at school. Voted to be head girl, school prefect, school council, work placements, all that stuff. But I used it to be super naughty because nobody would think...
No one would suspect me.
Yeah,
would
so I was very, very disruptive. I'm still very naughty now, very rebellious and do lots and lots of silly things. But yeah. I was always dreaming of all the things you said you weren't. I've always dreamt of transport and how to improve the environment. Yeah, seriously. How to improve the environment, how to have cleaner air. It's just one of those things that's inherently in me. And I think that's what draws me closer to people who are really putting their own necks out and head on the chopping block and all the other things to really show what can be done, the art of the possible. And having you in the EV Cafe ecosystem, you joined us at Partners Day, which this year was the biggest we've ever done with BT Openreach, I should say Openreach, up in Birmingham. We had over 100 businesses in the room and you just stood out. You were so helpful and giving everyone creative ideas. And you have this way of kind of putting everyone at ease and just ensuring that everyone gets their chance to speak. And I just, you're a credit, a shining light in any room, that's for sure. And going back to Paul's point, were you like that at school as a kid? Is this the product of your wonderful life?
No. Funnily enough, we had a small school reunion a few weeks ago. I'm not sure that was what any of my friends would have said. I hated public speaking at school, even though I tried to do it, sort of knock that out. But no, I didn't like public speaking. No, I wasn't that person at school, I don't think.
Well, so I do recall what I did dream of. Because I didn't dream of going the route that I went, and that's for another day. But I was in the National Youth Theatre. So I got into acting when I was a kid. So I've acted on the West End stage, don't you know? Well, it's sort of the West End. So there's the Jeanette Cochran Theatre in Holborn and...
West Swindon.
The Shaw right. Theatre, no. I did my work experience in the theatre in Swindon.
In the Wyvern? Oh, wow.
In the Wyvern Theatre. Yeah, there you go. But no, that's what I wanted to do. But I couldn't sight read at the time. So, and I could read. But so if I was reading something, I would be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something.
Romeo.
Romeo.
Yeah, I was wooden, I stumbled, I didn't get my punctuation right. Now, if you gave me a book, I would smash it. You know, I read books to my kids as I was older.
It's never too late.
I love doing the voices and stuff. No, I know. It is something, it's on the bucket list.
There's an Amdram Society waiting for you.
Yeah, see, but I'm too proud for Amdram. I want to be on the back on the West End. So, yeah, no, I don't know. Whatever. It will be something for the future. Anyway, so on the future, how do you see the future for Vocca and for Becky? Come on, what are you dreaming of in the future?
That's a very neat segue.
Wasn't
very
it
very neat?
Well, maybe I had a little bit of help.
Maybe there's
actually,
a little bit of help from me in the background. I wanted to hear it too. I'm desperate to hear it. I want to know what you're dreaming of now, even if it wasn't what you were dreaming of before.
What am I hoping for Vocca? We're in that position where we've got our pilot running and we've got a number of customers. So we've got a number of products out there. We've got a number of customers we're working with. And so far, so good. So I'm, you know, there's a case of celebrating the successes as they happen, as opposed to waiting for some big bang at the end of some unknown tunnel. So we're really pleased with the way the product's performing. We're really pleased with the relationships we've established with our customers. That is the basis and the platform for then the next phase. And the next phase is scaling. The next phase is signing multiple customers, building relationships with channel partners who say, I want your product because it fits my portfolio. It is the missing piece that I have that means that I can then respond to more customers. So these two things really are key to the next and the future of Vocca and its ability to scale. So that's what we're working on. We are we're going through a process at the moment where there's a lot of outreach, a lot of talking to businesses about their charging needs and does our product fit their charging needs and when. And then there's a building relationships with the channel partners saying, you know, we think we've got a great product for this market. Do you think, does this fit your portfolio? Would you buy it? If you would buy it, what's the volume? So that's our plan at the moment. That's what we're heading for.
I think referrer partners are really strong for you, Becky. We've got a EV Cafe sponsor partner called PLP, and they do the kind of foundation stuff that you then put the charger on top. And that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg of where I see your product going. It could be potentially a wholesale opportunity for you as well. So yeah, I see franchise all the way.
And if you look at the type of businesses that best suit our product, whether it's a hotel and whether it's a chain of hotels or an independent hotel or a workspace, really where they go to for their information, they don't say, I want a charger, I'm going to research charging, I'm going to Google them all, or I'm going to have a spreadsheet. They call their electrician.
Exactly,
say,
you're so
listen,
right.
Listen, yeah. Jill or John, I need charging. What do I do? So it's that installer network that is really crucial, I think, for us. And again, you know, back to building a product that talks to the end customer. So driver is one of our customers, the venue owner is one of our customers, but the other customer is the installer. So when we built our product, we've been really conscious about it getting feedback from installers on the route to production, on the route to product design. So at a point where we could change things, we opened up our charger and gave it to an installer and asked them to pick holes in it. We're now doing the same thing running through our pilot because there's still opportunity to modify and fine tune. We've built it. Our unit is a two-part unit. I haven't mentioned this, but it's a cradle and a head unit. So the cradle is the piece that attaches to the electrical supply, and then the head unit slots on top. What that means is that you don't need to call out an electrician to replace a head unit. So if somebody takes a baseball bat to a unit, you want to replace it, someone does cut a cable. I've swapped out a unit a few weeks ago. You stop it off the top. You have to unlock it, obviously, but you slip it off the top. You can return to base and we can replace, repair, and everyone carries on. There's no break in service. the way we're thinking through commissioning. We know that time is money for an installer. They don't want to be sitting on, you know, on basically in a car park waiting for anybody to respond to their needs. So we're going to make commissioning simple and painless. We know what the installer needs to do. We know the information we need to take from them. And another thing we're hearing from installers is that during that commissioning process, when payments are involved, making the connections between the different service providers is also quite painful. But because we are the unique service provider of the unit and the payments, first of all, that reduces the number of people you have to talk to. But it also, when we're thinking about it, you know, our commissioning process is seamless.
Yeah, other people call it the back plate. So it's essentially just as a description, exactly as Becky has said. It looks like when the unit comes off, there's just sort of a thing, but it's all safe and secure. It's so much quicker to swap out the bit that's broken. So yeah, again, thinking about the continuity. Now, the penny just dropped for me as we spoke that I have got a beautiful electric motorbike, which is an AC-only charging bike, but it's got what's called a charge tank in it. So if I were to come to your 22-kilowatt capable charger, I'd be able to pull a lot more power from that than a 7-kilowatt alternative. So if you're up for it, I'm going to ride on down to your site and we're going to do a bit of cheeky content about how easy that was. And then I'll go into the nice cafe.
With a motorbike as well.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun.
So
if you're up for it,
yeah.
You heard it.
No noise. You said
it does make a noise. It goes quite a cool little noise. You'll see.
Are you licensed to take? Can I jump on the back? I've got helmets. There are 6 helmets sitting behind this door right now.
Oh, that's very exciting, but no.
Oh, what a shame.
No. If you had your full license, I might let you ride it. But
I just want to sit on the back.
Pillion.
Pillion's just fine.
All right. Well, that we can do something. You heard it here first.
Definitely not.
Anyway, Paul, get us out of trouble before we get arrested or on crime watch.
Oh, gosh. I know, right. Well, look, I mean, I'm thrilled. The installer is going to be great for you guys, isn't it? The installer show. So if you're an installer and you're thinking of you know, what charger should I be fitting, this is, you know, owning that whole business of the charger and the payment solution, I think is genius. I there's a lot more I'd like to go into. We will do it offline as to the circularity of things and all of that kind of stuff, but we'll do that another day. So we have a closing tradition here on the EV Cafe Takeaway. Oh, that's a knowing smile. I like knowing smiles because it means that people have actually listened to other podcasts that we've done, which is nice. It's not quite... So hang on, actually, what we'll do is... we'll do this.
You're going to get something very special. That's cool.
Yeah, there we go. So it's the EV Cafe Magic Wand, everybody. It's kind of not, but it's
actually genius.
Is.
Well done.
There's a little hole in the
okay,
the
so anybody who, if you're listening in the car like I often am, what Paul's essentially done there, he's just broken it, is he's taken the microphone handle and attached his EV Cafe Director's pin to it to replicate the 3D printed one that we usually use. Very good.
So anyway, Becky, here it comes. It is coming over to you, the EV Cafe Magic Wand. So she's got it. She's got it. That's the way to do it.
Take it around here.
That's it, yes. It's carefully hidden so that the viewers don't know how it transforms as it goes over the airwaves. But the important thing is here, Becky, that you get to wish for one thing. Please don't try and improve the pub down the road. We know it needs help, but, you know. But what would you wish for? And it can be in the context of anything. We have actually had a chef. We've obviously world peace has been done. We've had loads of good things. So
can I do an anti-wish that you don't wear your budgie smugglers ever on air, Paul?
Yeah,
nobody needs that. And, thanks very much.
Thanks, everyone. We're just bullying poor Paul.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, goodness me. Let's turn that conversation around and see what happens. Yeah. We'd be cancelled in a heartbeat.
That's so true.
Anywho, so Becky,
one wish
to you with my sensible wish.
My wish is very selfish because I think that's what wishes should be.
Yeah.
I want to see Voca succeed. I want to see our product out there and I want to, the success for me is getting to that point where we've got businesses out there saying, I not only do I need charging, but this is the charger that I want. It ticks my boxes. So for me, my wish is simple. It's that Voca succeeds and moves past the phase we're in now and into the scaling phase where we've got multiple customers and installers coming to us saying we really want that product.
I love that. And I'm going to say, if you're, let's name some. If you're Hilton Hotels,
yeah.
If you're
Premier Inn,
Premier
Inn apparently
Lodge,
don't have a contract charger.
Oh, they don't. Oh man, nothing. They wind me up so much.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And do you know what? What really gets me is it's vans parked in their car parks.
I know. Didn't we do a video on that? I did. I was like, look at all these potential clients that have gone down the road. How silly is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, honestly, so if you're Premier Inn, people, if you're listening and you're from Premier Inn, you need to call this lady here right now.
Call Voca.
In fact, let's make it happen. Anybody who has a contact in a purchasing department or strategy department or in the senior leadership team of Premier Inn, come on.
Get in touch.
Knock
we'll
on
make
the
it
door.
Simple.
We'll make it simple. We'll give your customers a great experience. You've heard it here, and we'll deliver on that. And we want commission, by the way.
I love that you added that. Paul is our commercial director.
And by the way,
I know we are wrapping up, but there is a serious point to make here on that. The way you run this versus the way that people have been trying, people being businesses like hotels and restaurants and wherever, have been trying, it's all been on a concessionaire's basis. It's always been on a, you give us a peppercorn rent and you can do what you like on our sites as long as the relationship's healthy. Your plan is that they own the asset and that can be, you know, can write that down on their profit and loss and have it as an asset which depreciates and therefore is part of your estate. But the bit that I think people have missed here is that back in those days when Volkswagen partnered with Tesco, it was because of the added basket value of the person getting something else from their shopping experience, i.e. electrons, that we vastly overlook. We're always so preoccupied by the cost of the charger up front. And that I think we need to be much better, all of us, at doing commercial modelling for our clients. So let's really put that into our messaging.
Well, we...
Can I
add a final point?
Go.
To your business case is really important, and obviously lots of business say this is all well and good, but the money talks, finance, return on investment. We've built a number of calculators that sit on our website. We've called them calculators, just for want of a better word. They're brilliant.
Snappily
marketing. Marketing here, all the jazz is right here, all the magic. But we built a number of them for different use cases so that you can plug in your numbers and say, oh, I've got a car park of 100 spaces and I've got average 50% occupancy and the cost of my electricity is 30p and the added basket value of having an extra booking overnight is X. Hit the go, hit the calculate, and the calculator will go through and say, this is your expected return on investment based on the upfront costs, based on the numbers you've given me. This is when you can expect to have the money back. So these tools, we believe, are actually helping businesses and should be helping businesses make these decisions rationally.
That's genius, because revenue share is always going to be important, right? Understanding
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
But that's not
the big thing. That the revenue share is almost, it sort of mitigates the costs. It's
sure.
I don't know. It's table
added
stakes just
value.
To make sure that. Mm. But the added basket value, that the fact that you'll be attracting room bookings that the hotel down the road that doesn't have EV charging won't be attracting.
Correct.
Loyalty. Yeah. You'll be back. You'll be like, that was
customers
so easy.
Come back. Once you've found your hotel with your charger, you go back, you don't change.
Totally.
Yes. And
totally.
I've been invited to go to a hotel, which should obviously remain nameless, who have done a great job. They've got solar. And interestingly, that aforementioned hotel that we were talking about has solar in many of their sites to use for their energy on site. But they have solar. They had a battery and they deploy 50 kilowatt charging, which I don't really get. I'm not quite sure I understand why you would deploy a row of 5 or 6 50 kilowatt
at a hotel
charges. Why at a hotel when you're going to be there overnight.
It's for dinner people, isn't it? People that are just staying for a couple
of
hours.
Well, I don't know, but no, because they advertise it, so they advertise your EV overnight stay. So if you have, they've got an EV package which gets you
with a 50 kilowatt charge. It's slightly odd, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
But his face says he doesn't like this example.
No. But I think 50 kilowatts, interestingly, is perfect for a supermarket.
Yeah, just an hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why Sainsbury's have gone down the
rapid smart charge is great, and that's really good.
Yeah.
And, very good.
But so herein, I think, is it's just a message to hotels. Think differently about the way that you package what you do, because a lot of your corporate customers will be in electric vehicles and they will love the fact that you're putting a charger, a sensible charger, 11 kilowatts, 7 kilowatts, whatever, overnight, because that's what you want people to do, is stay there overnight. But that's been great. What a fantastic session.
So thank you very much for having me.
Oh, no, it's been our pleasure, definitely. So what would you take away from all of this?
This is a product with heart. It's a product that puts the consumer first and thinks about the commercial model for the person investing in this for their business growth. I'm a big believer in repeat business, consumer value. And I just think this product is so well designed, so well executed and so well planned and so well priced. It just ticks all the boxes. And we are not affiliated, by the way, for anybody listening in. I just really rate Becky, you and the team. I think what they're doing is great.
Thank you.
And I will second that, because at the end of the day, people buy people. And if I was buying, I'd be buying.
Aww, it's as simple as that, isn't it? There you go. That's
nice. Because good people, they deserve the opportunity. And that's why you can listen back to all the podcasts that we've done. We've never really shouted out one possible customer like that and said,
you guys
need to talk to this person.
Yeah.
Never done it. But it makes so much sense, and it's such a frustration. And you're bringing a solution that works to that frustration. And that makes sense to me. So I'm very excited for working together at the installer show. That'll be fantastic.
I'm very excited about seeing customers.
Yeah, and just meeting in stores and hearing firsthand what they've got to say about what's being put before them. And we've got a good reason to drag people in. Hey, you're an installer. Come over here. Have a look at this and tell us why this is good and what you'd change, would you add anything? Would you take anything away? You know, all of that good stuff. But and I love the fact that it's just built on a foundation of business savvy and knowledge in one area of the business and building out using your own stuff with quality at the heart of it makes sense to me. Becky, you and your team are a genius.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much for having us on.
It has been our pleasure. And if you want to listen to any of the other podcasts, head on over to the EV Cafe page. You will find loads of them there. Follow us on YouTube. Connect with us on LinkedIn. We love to share all of these great stories and lots of little tidbits that will help you accelerate electrification. Have a great day, everybody.